Blog Talk Radio.
Let your hands fall and to
Angela Butler. Today the interview is with Reverend Lanigan, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and Stop the Violence and Incarceration, along with historian and original Black Panther and Southern Christian Leadership Conference and NAACP member, Mr. Abraham. We will be discussing a variety of topics, so sit back and listen. How are you doing, gentlemen?
I'm blessed. Highly favored. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Just got back from a wedding. My second cousin just got married. My first cousin, my favorite cousin, Sandra's daughter just got married.
Okay, that's a good thing. That's a great thing.
Peace and blessings. Yes, that's a great thing.
Yeah, she's married. And I wish, and I wish them the best.
Oh, yeah. I went through it twice. I'm on my second two times.
Okay. Hopefully it'll be one time for them.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to start with Reverend Lionel again, then I'm going to move on to Mr. Abraham. I'm going to ask you pretty much a similar question. I'm going to start with Reverend Lionel again. Reverend Gant, how are you doing this tonight?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How you doing, my sister? I'm glad to see you're still on the battlefield.
Yes, I'm still on the battlefield, and it's still raining. It's
going
down out there. All right, so, Mr. Grant, we're going to talk about with you reparations and war crimes by American government against Black Americans. Let's start with that. You're a member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. You have Stop the Violence and Incarceration. You have 50 or 60 churches that you have started or more than that by now. So let's talk about reparations. Where do you stand with reparations?
Well, America has to be held accountable for its actions against our people. And when I talk about, when we talk about reparations, there's a lot of arguments that are out there. I'm looking on my iPad, on my computer right now, and it's talking about, and Fox News did a piece on this where they're saying that that the government estimate they demand $14 trillion in reparations in order to even make this happen. And then Fox News said that was absurd. They said that's absurd. That would take about $14 trillion in order for us to take care of them. And then they were saying that, and none of us have been in slavery. It was our ancestors that was in slavery. But that's wrong because they can't account for all of those of us that were lynched, all of us that were raped, all of us that were illegally incarcerated. Let's don't forget about the chain gang when we were falsely imprisoned in order to do the work to build America's highways. we have been mistreated since day one that we've come to this country. And yes, we're looking at figures like $14 trillion. We're looking at figures that's what it's going to take to repay. Let me just say, Black America. Okay, and that's not talking about the rest of the world. That's not talking about, you know, the islands and Central America and all the other places that slavery took place in. That's just counting America. So I'm gonna get it back to you.
So you are for reparations. Okay, so I'm gonna ask you, Mr. Abraham, how do you feel about reparations?
Let me correct his name. It's Ibrahim. Not Abraham. Ibrahim. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Ibrahim.
Like Abraham, but only with an I. Ibrahim.
Abraham.
Okay, that'll work. I'll go with that one.
Okay. How do you feel about reparations, sir? I mean, you're a former, your original Black Panther, you're a historian, you're a member of the Southern Leadership Conference, NAACP. What is your stance on reparations?
I think reparations is about time. But here's the problem. Here's a tricky problem. You know, we talked earlier today, you mentioned that $5 million. So I calculated that, not counting people, all of a sudden going to come back. Okay, have a coming home Jesus moment, you know, be Black again. $5 million to 40 million Black people, that's $200 trillion. You know what I mean? So me and Reverend Gant, we were talking about some hyperinflation that we've heard and seen in our lifetime in different countries. You're talking about Nigeria. And I just remember I was a student of after World War I at the Esser-Lorraine Treaty that happened in Germany against the Europeans. And the money, it was, people had to take wheelbarrows of money to get a loaf of bread. And he reminded me, in Nigeria, he was doing about the same thing because the price is so valued. Just think about it. If we got that money, now they can print that money. There ain't no problem. You know what I'm saying? But this economy is based on Keynesian economic theory, supply and demand. So like what happened during the COVID virus, people restrict the supply was restricted. So demand was high, the demand stayed about the same, a little higher, but since the supply went down, that made demand overcome supply. So that raised the amount of everything. Like when they had this chicken thing in one area of the world, one area in the country, then everybody capitalized off that and took the benefit of raising their prices up, because then they say they restricted supply and demand was constant and then went up, so therefore they raised the price. So this is what we're dealing with that. Now I was looking at California. They had a pretty decent breakdown. I was looking at it. It started off with 1900, right? People that can trace their ancestry past 1900, which I think is fair in a lot of ways. And then therefore, it comes up then we're tied to reparations. Well, I would say that because my family go back to the 1700s, right? On both sides of my family, I could say that, you know. But in all right. So when did it really start? Did it start then, or it start? More people that are entitled to it that during the time of Jim Crow laws was about 1920. The damn part of it. And then we were talking about something else because I was telling him about it, that we're talking about who's Black. Now, Black is not a term of color. It's a term of status or accountability. But there's actually a law that got in the books around about 1619 in Maryland and a couple other states, because there were free Black men and Blacks from different countries, different African countries, and there were tons of load of debtor prison. Remember, came white women and people came from debtor prison. And so they made it up. It was good for the plantation owners, but because they had free slaves. They had all these children popping up that would be permanent slaves. And so people found a fix that this African dark-skinned person, Africa, and this little white lady, a debtor prison of some quality class at one time, and found trouble. And Georgia, the state of Georgia, was founded by that through Oglethorpe. Sir Oglethorpe, that brought me to Georgia. So we turn that. It's a legal term in America. They started that about white and Black. You know, so now where are we on this? You know, who could say they're Black? Like I was telling him, my fourth generation, sixth generation, fifth generation cousin, I got a whole lot of white people in there. You know, and I was telling about a person that and my family that was born, that I biologically related to, she was born in 1780. Now, I found this out because a white lady was doing the same thing. And she said something about she couldn't find the slave master. And I said, well, they're on that, but they're not slaves. Their name is Clear. You know, it was Sims, my last name, Sims, right? And so after I told her that, I thought we were going to be, you know, continue on and talk. Gotta go. I can't even find her no more, see? So, but now, you know, you start talking about some money or some benefits, Lord have mercy. I'd be surprised everybody, you know, because basically everybody got some now. You know, this is a melting pot. You know, now they're trying to claim these Negroes, they want to put themselves as white, claim whiteness. Then they want to have a coming home moment because that's a lot of money, or if you got it, but it really bakes into a lot of things. Now, California, they were looking at a whole different issue. Education, business, problem with business, incarceration, the rates of incarceration, things that Booker T. Washington and Marcus Garvey talked about, the inequality of all this, commission of the same crime. I think Du Bois wrote something about 1900, a little bit, when he talked black reparations. He talked about the currency of whiteness, how two people with the same economic educational level, one would exceed another simply because he had a currency of being white, not any extra skills or motivation and stuff like that. So when you look at it like that and you break it down to all the trouble that people face because of this inequality of second-class citizenship and all this and how people fought, that kind of makes sense. But they're talking about $1.5 million. They ain't talking about you get it all to one check. You get it over a period of time. You know, and so that kind of makes sense. But to me, when you start breaking it down, you're talking about money, things get ugly. You know.
Well, bro, I have a report from Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil actually did this. I saw this from Dr. Phil,
where
he was explaining to the people, Sister Angela, that for us to get reparation, he was saying that would be a disaster, not just a disaster for America, but what the effect it would have on the dollar, it would be a disaster for the whole world. So what do y'all think about that?
I think black people should get paid like everybody else is in this country.
Well, I agree. Paid with money.
Like the Japanese, Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor, the Japanese that were interned in America. But that was different, too, because, you know, they actually take people off their property, their land, right, at the time. And this is right. This is like what it is, the difference between our time. We're talking about over 100-some years in the past, right?
No, wait a minute.
We're talking about war crimes. Also, unjust incarceration, current day times. We're not talking about just slavery. We're talking about 400 years of racism, of free labor. We're talking about incarceration. We're talking about abuse. We're talking about murder. We're talking about rape in current day times in prison system, women being raped by white correctional officers. Women are being raped by white correctional officers, maybe some black correctional officers too. We're talking about women getting pregnant in prison, in a women's prison.
But well, then that becomes a constitutional.
We shouldn't even be there.
The 13th and 14th Amendment frees you from slavery, and then it puts you back in slavery in the commission of a felony crime. You know, I mean, that's for everybody, black or white. It's just we treat it different because observational wise, from a distance and from a bias and prejudice, we would automatically assume this person is more guilty than another. That's the whole thing about the criminal justice system, what Brother Gant talked about. But then, see now, and I told you earlier, you know, we would probably have that if it wasn't for our bourgeoisie intelligence, because everybody gained control of this so they can take control and have this so they can pontificate and decide who gets what and when or what we're going to use it for. My thing is land, you know, the black belt. It's been around. These people are talking about the black belt for hundreds of years. That's from Virginia to Texas. And the type of money right now that's coming out, I say, like I'm talking about the Gulf Coast, there are hundreds of oil wells pumping out, billions of gallons of oil at some ungodly money, right? And now if we had control of that and we were trained to be able to operate these things in all manner of fields, and there are some black people that got degrees of PhDs in chemistry. I have a niece that has that was sent down there, but she didn't like the attitude of those her fellow employees, Capaldi, that's good old boys from the Bayous. You know, so she quit and left and lost a lot of money, but she was better satisfied being home with us, her people, than down there. But look, here's the thing. That kind of money, and then the rice, sugar cane, we don't think about things like that. There are so much money being generated in the South. And it's obviously the majority of people in the South. Why can't we tap into that and then take that land? We even had land taken away from us in Georgia and a lot of in Mississippi in the 90s.
Oh, okay, brother Ibrahim, let me interject something now.
Go ahead,
brother. Okay, you know how much money, how many billions of dollars that they're giving over there in the war in Ukraine? You know how many billions of dollars that they're giving to Israel every year? And you mean to tell me they can't take care of our people right here in America?
Oh, no. What I'm saying is that we have to, you know, we need to determine the working class people in America, the backbone of the working class black people in America, the backbone of America, not the proletariat, not the lumping proletariat.
No, I don't think that should have anything to do with it. I think that America, if they can pay for wars, if they can pay for other nations, then they can take care of the so-called quote unquote black America.
Well, you put it like that, I'm against them giving a dime to Israel, but you know, for their cost of the crown. I think
they give tens of billions of dollars to all these different countries.
Yeah,
they can give reparations to us if they stop giving to them other countries. They had no business killing them people in those other countries. No way, they wouldn't be doing this. And if they hadn't killed so many of them,
I'm talking about the money to you, but look, we got two aircraft divisions out there and a flotilla of the Marine Expeditionary Force and submarines. You talking about some and satellite? You talking about some crazy money we can't even calculate that's being used to phone it off because it's our military that we're supporting carnage and apartheid. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we. How much a helicopter cost? How much a submarine cost? How much do a M16? How much do these weapons cost? That's money, bro. That's money. So they're not justified. There's no way they can justify not paying up for the war crime that they committed against us as a nation of people.
Yeah. But see, that's something. That's something that people don't understand what power is. That's what we need. If it was a study done a long time ago when lottery started getting popular, when they started getting up in millions and tens of millions of dollars and hundreds of millions of dollars. And they found a lot of people hit that lottery for that kind of money. They was actually broke and owing the government in a year for different reasons. People, not too long ago, somebody got killed because they hit the lottery. People killed them and took his money. They got caught, but I'm just saying. So if you don't have the power to protect yourself, if you don't have the power to infrastructure that can help you keep your money and move your money forward, we forget that we look at dollars as the be-all, end-all, everything. We don't look at what actually power is. You know, the protection that you need and the way to invest your money safely without being manipulated. Well, hell, everybody looking for that because that's a current thing. You know what I mean? That everybody gets conned or used by the different systems that they money in. But that's the way it goes. You got to have the education, intelligence. So, rather than somebody else deciding what my money is, the good state of California, and the Biden supporting the murderous apartheid people over there, killing black and brown people, you know, it is black and brown people, you don't know that. These blonde-haired devils killing black and brown people, then why would I want to thank him and then his cohort, and when they talking about a whole range of issues to obfuscate and blend in everything, well, then we're going to have a lot of other problems, just like the education and everything. We still fighting over that. Why black people got here? We have black people talking about it. Everybody talking about why a black person can get into college, you know, if he ain't qualified. Anybody qualified, but give them the opportunity.
A lot of the states are making that a part of their reparations solution.
Education.
You know, they want to give education. They want to give, you know, instead of just dollars, they want to, you know, they want to give something that's going to uplift the people as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the whole gentry. But then who's going to educate? We're talking about education now. Florida says you can't teach any kind of black history, cut it to offend the majority, the good blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. You offend them by talking about real history. So they want to keep the imaginary, you know, one part, imaginary part of Memphis and not the whole story, right? That's what developed this country. Because then we got black people who want to talk about the, you know, oh, no, look how they treat us. Look where we come from. We were destitute. We didn't have, look at that. I'm insulted by that. Because then you're taking away from the actual thing the ancestors did. We give them no respect. And then we talking about, like, we so high and mighty, we see a hard time because of the past. And this time, you know, if you live during my time, against time, then that's a bunch of baloney. I mean, I don't know what to say. I want to say some words that gets me excited when we talk about history and stuff like that. That history is always based on somebody else looking down on what the interaction, what the powerful did to the power people, not powerful, or what the oppressor did to oppressor. That's where our history is designated. You know, you ain't see the movies now. They talk about
It's horrible. I get that oppression now because I'm a black female who lives by herself, and I'm handicapped. I have a handicap. So I get oppression all the time from white people.
Mm-hmm.
And some blacks try to control me, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, when you, I've been 6'1", 6'2", most of my life, right? And you know what? And I've been built well, but now I'm kind of just big, you know, and act like that. Do you know how people, you know how black women and white women look at me sometimes? You know, or they just imagine that somehow they stole all this, that I'm going to actually waste my time to try to whistle at them and talk to them. It's just like, I mean, some wretched people, I mean, they do me like that, right? And some old lady, and they got to open her pocketbook, right? And I can look at her attire and see what I'm wearing and how I report myself, how she report herself, that she had nothing in that pocketbook I want, you know, that I know of. I don't know, she might have a check for $1 billion in there, you know. I don't know. I might change my religion. What I'm saying is that because of the color of my skin, people look at me, even my own people look at it. You know, we don't even have justice among ourselves. You see somebody get in trouble, police arrest them, man, you know what? Oh, black people go crazy. Yeah. Or athlete or actress charged with some kind of crime or something like that, how minor, how superior, how sufficient it is, we already convict them guilty. We still saying OJ guilty. You know what I mean? You know, we don't look at the fact that he actually, what he did was that he actually went by the American Constitution and, you know, stated his case correctly, intelligently, had the money and resources, and was found not guilty. That don't mean none of us now. You know, back like it then, oh, no, he was guilty. He got away with it because he OJ. So that's all we're saying. We think so negative about our own self and our own character and our status. If you had one black person get up there talking about, listen, you know, I'm going to separate this money, give you all this money. I'm going to get this money. I'm going to ask it. Man, look at here. There'll be a walk.
Okay, so let's talk about this. War crimes by the American government against black Americans. Mr. Reverend Lionel Gant, war crimes by the American government against black Americans. What are you working on with that?
That's been my whole thrust. And that's why I told the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, and that's why I told all the people that are working with me, and I work with all of the organizations across the board. And I was telling them that, look, we can't go to the United States to Congress to try to get anything done. Well, our battle has to be fought in the United Nations, because the crime that were committed against us right now, what happened in Israel, what happened in the Palestine, okay, they consider that to be a war crime with the shooting of the missiles of Hamas and all the things that were going on. They consider that to be war crimes, okay? What they've done to us is obviously war crimes, okay? And they are not even holding anybody accountability. The United Nations say that they found America guilty of mistreating black Americans, and they're going to have to be held accountable for that. They're going to have to be held accountable for it.
Yeah, but when I did the interview with you not too long after the United Nations had moved, what year was that? Because America seems like they've taken that paper and used the white they're behind with the American government.
I couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
I said when I did an interview with you,
uh-huh,
not too long after the United Nations had moved, two or three years back. It seems like America has used that piece of paper to wipe their behind with the American government.
And now I had to go back to Brother Ibrahim, you know, because our leaders are the people that's in power in Black America. They won't stand up and fight for what is right. They don't know what to fight for. You know, as long as they got a check, as long as they got some money, as long as they got a roof over their head, they don't want to make no way. They don't want to make no way. They don't want to hold America accountable for its actions because that's going to mess up their paycheck. I'll take it back to y'all on that.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Gant. You know, I was looking at it. June 28, 2001, the UN rights chief says, reparations are needed for people facing racism, and she it was Michelle Bachelet, UN High Commissioner of Human Rights, and she pointed out about these things in America. But now, I was pretty young, I was about 14 years old, when Malikia Baz-Ohaji went to the UN. They said that what really got him killed, right? That he went there and he was protesting about the crime in America. Well, America, since I was born, I think it was fighting the Korean War when I was born. And they have been so murderous and killing wars that we don't even know about. I was reading some more about Vietnam. It's a big thing, a documentary on that. And we've been in that since the 50s. I thought them being through was the turning point when we got involved in getting the French out. And we go in there and take the French colonists out, and we take over. But it started voting. Well, all I'm saying is that American war crimes in my lifetime are tremendous. The millions and millions of people I've seen killed and slaughtered. And being us good Christians and whatever, Muslims, we waving the flag, USA, you know, and portraying us as so many big heroes, destroying lives of millions of people, and then waving the red flag that we stopped the communists and we did that. And, you know, what else? What is now we got Hamas. I don't know who Hamas is.
Wait a minute, brother. We got a drug war right here where thousands and thousands of Black Americans have been mass incarcerated over a nickel bag of dope.
But what I'm trying to get to the point is that the UN has stated that. Now, America and Israel, the only two countries calling this a righteous war. They're not committing war crimes. But the UN and Israel, America and Israel, is not a part of that. You know, that's because if you remember during the Iraq war, you know, when they were trying to charge America, they said, no, you cannot arrest an American soldier in there for the war crime. It'll be taken care of instrumental means. And you remember William Calley, Lieutenant Calley, in the Vietnam War, and we were talking about the guy down in Panama, Doreen North, Bloody Hand. We were talking about
I was in Panama.
Yeah.
And I was in the Gulf War.
And see, what we're saying is that what's going on in Haiti now is a product of that. It's a product of American intervention in different countries that caused it, and we blame them for their back, and we wonder about how these people come across the border. We say one thing, we paint this beautiful picture, and then we call this death and destruction over there. We don't want to rectify. You fix it like Colin Powell said, you break it, you need to fix it. You own it. And that's what Israel don't want to hear. They come to all kinds. They talk about Hamas, blah, 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 the Israeli people. That's a lie. Zionists. In 1896, Theodore Herzl said that Zionism, they were going to kill and wipe out any land and replace it with a state. They were talking about South America, and they said Israel. And they guess where they come out of? Ukraine. The Zionists came out of Ukraine around about before, right during after World War II. You can check. Check. You're going to see. I might be 100% correct because I'm human. Human not gonna be 100%. God is 100% correct. But I'm saying I'm right on the ball. You check it, you can check that. You say, well, yeah, you can't call me a liar on that. You say I might be different. But anyway, so all this figures around these areas. So these people.
Okay, let me ask a question then. Okay, if this was happening to any other race of people, okay, wouldn't somebody be held accountable for the treatment?
No.
For the treatment?
No. That's not held accountable. Not held accountable for their own people that happen to be Muslims. That's number one religion in China at one time, Muslims. You know, and they've been trying to re-educate them all through Indonesia, you know, then in India. the Hindu fight against the Muslim fight against the Hindu. And then the Christian communities all over the world are fighting against everybody else. You know what I'm saying? It's about land and resources, right? So now here in America, our problem is that we don't understand, you know, well, our problem is that we don't want to empower ourselves and embrace ourselves. We want, when it, people say, hand me this, we need this, they should give us this. And I say right then, it's a lost cause. But they can give you anything called a reparation. Maybe generations later, people jump and say, we didn't get what we want, or people going to be angry because we don't have no right. We can't decide what we want. I have no say-so in this. I don't have no powerful voice. I don't have no group of people standing behind me and demand a fair and equal reparation. Something's going to be self-sustaining. You know what I mean? That when I start this, it's going to go on for my life and anybody else in America. We don't care about that. Anybody else in the islands, the whole America, continent America, because Canada, South America is in that whole mix, you know, and the islands. But, see, I want something sustainable. So you give me $5 million, you give me, and by the time I get it, start spending, it's about worth about, like we were talking about, me and Dan were talking about when we were kids, the price of gas, 25, 10 cents, 15 cents for premium gas, right? Now, that the cost of living went up. Now, what is it, $4, $5, $10 for a gallon of premium gas? You know what I'm saying? Do you understand when you start talking about the cost of living and you factor all that in, it gets crazy. So what do we really need?
Yeah, that's what Dr. Field was saying, that if all of a sudden they gave black American, I'm just using that as a reference to say who we're talking about, they said it would totally mess up the economy.
It don't matter what the economy is messed up as. People can go live in other countries. America deserves reparations. Black America deserves reparations. I don't know what it should look like or how much it should be, but Black America deserves reparations. If they go out and blow every dime of it, they set the money on fire. They still should be entitled. Every black America in America should get a check for reparations. I don't know if it should be. I don't know if his land should be with it. I don't know if any grants should be in. I don't know if any housing should be a part of a land housing grants money or what. But all I know is reparations is due to every black America in this country for having to watch those murders on TV.
Well, you know what? My family suffered in a slavery time, right? My family suffered. It's people that were hung in the 40s here in Georgia, a family member in Newnan, Georgia, was hung because he voted. You know, he was told not to vote, and he voted. They killed him. You know what I mean? And 40, more lynchings happened in Georgia. The only state that had more lynchings in Georgia is Mississippi, right? And there's a lot of this happened in the 40s because we wanted to vote. We wanted to express again our power. See, what I'm trying to get people to understand, until we be just with ourselves and gain power and determine how this money going to be, determine how this, what this reparation going to look like, what our actual needs are and not our wants. You know what I mean? Because that you can get that, like we were talking, I was talking to Grant today. The first car I bought, my daddy bought me a brand new 66 Dodge Coronet, right? Had the scoop on the hood, mag rim, the whole nine yards, a hot rod. You know what I mean? Fast as heck. Blow them Mustang, everybody off the road, right? That car cost under $2,000. The same car today, it would cost 20 times, 100 times more than I paid for that car. And I had a job making about $100-some a week, and I'm living high on the hog. I'm a young teenage man with a big, bad, fast car, dressing nice, looking good. And
everybody's corporate greed. American greed is amazing when it comes to inflation. American corporate greed, American greed, whatever you want to call it, is ridiculous.
Because they tell you this is what you want. They tell you get the fast car, you get the pretty girl. You go where you want. You're independent. You're represented by this Maserati, this Rolls Royce. Black people don't have, you know, when I was coming, black people actually had Rolls Royce and the big fine Cadillacs and all Lincolns and stuff, right, with Buicks. That was a big thing, man. Black people, I seen black people down there. You know, we had billionaire people. We used to go down, up, down, Huntsville. We had a big movie theater. Hospitals in our area, right? And we was on the west side where black people go to show their wealth and demonstrate.
Okay.
They can do that. But see, what I'm saying is, though, but now, look at the price of that Cadillac, $2,500. Now, what a price of Cadillac? Up to $100,000 right off the floor, regular Cadillac. You see what I'm saying? You know, so So even with all that, so we understand that when you, supply and demand always went out, right? When you have all this money, see, a lot of people don't understand with this COVID virus and everything, demand stayed the same, but supply went down. You got a supply problem. Plus, you had people capitalizing off this, raising that to make more money per item, per widget or whatever. People paid that money. So therefore, we got a cost of living that went up. The average apartment now around Atlanta is somewhere around $2,000 from a one-bedroom to two-bedroom. That's a one-bedroom, two-bedroom, around $2,000. You know what I'm saying? Now,
yes, I understand what you're saying. I understand inflation, and corporate greed. I understand.
You say corporate greed? No. It's individual people greed because you'll pay for it. You vote with your dollars. You don't have to buy that big fancy car. You don't have to buy stuff in a car. You see this Beyonce or somebody strutting around the stage and all that. You try to look like Beyonce, live like Beyonce. You see some athlete got this big old pretty house, and you go beyond your needs and needs. You know, well, that's me. I want that. Y'all, it's what your need is. You know what I'm saying? We go beyond that. So we had to take some responsibility among ourselves so we can sit down like intelligent adults and figure out what it's going to look like and who's going to get this money, how it's going to benefit the community. All of us, right?
I think everybody should get as individual, each individual. See, I think black people are intelligent enough, smart enough, and modern enough to know not to repeat history. I think black people are intelligent enough to handle their own money and land and housing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what about the next generation?
But history shows something entirely different. You know, see, you know, people coming up, they still heard the words of Booker T. Washington. They still heard the words of W. Du Bois. You know, they read W. Du Bois. They heard the words of rich people that were born in slavery became millionaires at the turn of the 20th century. That's what they heard. They seen their action, not what they were saying, but they seen action. And even Booker T. Washington. And they talk about people that raised the Negro problem with no solution. They become
a whole lot of black millionaires.
What? Black millionaires? Yeah.
A lot of black millionaires in this country, a whole lot of them.
Yeah, well, that's what you're saying. But see, look, what I'm trying to say is that don't mean nothing to the whole population sometimes because it's not focused like it was then. Like, you know, we again was talking about that eagle used to, like, scream by the time it got by. I mean, when it circulated for a funeral. But that was people not only buying stuff. Right now, you talk about black men, what they got? Incense, dashiki, pocketbooks, shoes, tennis shoes from China. You know, and it's got this black man's name on stuff like that. So, oh, that's a black man. We got to buy that. No, absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? You see, because it's a community thing. Economy is a social construct between people. You know, that's what we don't understand. What everybody else seems to understand, we don't understand. It's a social construct. If you complain about Chinese restaurant, then the community should come together and through law, remove those restaurants from that, or then create their own restaurant to satisfy the needs of their people and do it in such a manner that it's as far superbly succeeds. You know, I don't deal with these large organizations.
Okay. So what about Biden Harris? How do you feel, Reverend Gant, Reverend Lionel Gant, about the Biden Harris Reparation and Exploratory Committee, about them exploring reparations for black Americans, the Biden Harris administration, Mr. Gant?
It has to happen. Okay, America cannot go forward without taking care of this problem that it has with black Americans. America cannot even represent who they are. As it says in the Constitution that they were one nation under God, you know, created for justice and liberty for all. They can't go forward as America without taking care of the black problem. And they know this.
So Biden Harris Exploratory Committee is doing the right thing, in your opinion, like they did in California and North Carolina. Okay. I know sometimes they give grants out. I know these stimulus checks here in Florida, teachers got extra stimulus checks, but the rest of the citizens didn't. I believe in North Carolina they gave out grants.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what it looks like. What do you think about criminal justice reform, Reverend Gann? What should criminal justice reform look like?
Wow. You know, they don't want to, they're going to give it lip service. They're going to give it lip service. Okay. But in actuality, they're making so much money off of the prison industrial complex that they are never going to give real, real reform. They're never going to give real reform. It's too much money. All of these new jails they built, you know, were so that these states can come up off of the prison industrial complex. It's too much money in it. They're going to talk about reform. They're going to say the right thing, but they have no intention of creating any real reform action. None whatsoever.
Okay. So what do you think about the George Floyd for Justice bill and police immunity from lawsuit? The police have an immunity from lawsuit.
No, they should not. And matter of fact, I was one of the top instructors in the nation for 2 years in America, in the military, teaching nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, and I was teaching in the military police school. And police should never be immune from wrong actions. They should be held accountable for every action, because the only reason why they're operating in the public is by consent of the people that they are sworn to protect. Okay, so that should be no immunity for them for committing vicious and wild acts. It should be no immunity for that. Okay, when we look at the what was his name, George Floyd, not George Floyd, the Trayvon Martin case, okay, and they justified that based on the fact that you had the right to protect yourself, okay, and we know clearly that man was in the wrong when he started following that boy, when he started looking into, you know, talking about the neighborhood watch and all that. No. He had no.
Trayvon Martin, Florida. That's where I'm at, Florida. That's what you're talking, Mr. Little mm-hmm. Trayvon Martin, the teenager.
Right.
George.
What was the justice in that?
They let him walk.
Uh-huh.
They let him
and
walk.
That's what they want to do with the police now?
They let him walk. They let George Zimmerman walk. George Zimmerman walked out that courtroom a free man. He was part mm-hmm. white and part Cuban or Puerto Rican or something, or Latino. Yeah, he walked.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so my thing, I'm listening to this, right? And you asked about the Bible. You know, history rewards all research. We have a thing in the late 60s and 70s. It was called the Model Cities Program, where they released billions of dollars, right, for to go to the black community. Guess what? The bourgeois took that money.
I think we lost her.
Oh, we did?
No,
oh.
You never lost me.
Okay, yeah. Okay, there you go. All
right. It's called the Model Cities Program. I'm looking at Biden and Harris. I think it's a joke. It's an assault to anybody's intelligence, right? They're saying it's already been done. But administration, equity and quality. Nowhere I want to say that just for black people, because it ain't going to work like that. He knows it ain't going to work. Like, he knows that's going to set everybody in all communities, and it doesn't isolate people because they black. Nor they say what color period of time of year, right? And what he doing for them, he done it, they do it for everybody. And he knows this, right? The only thing I see on here is good paying job, economic possibility, and education. Release the farm. That's always been released to the farm. The farm is one of the biggest people on welfare this country's ever seen since my time and beyond my time. You know, They get money for not grazing crops. They get money for burning their crops in the ground, throwing it away, taking it overseas, right? But so what I'm talking about, real solution, is that we go back to looking at our need and what we need and what we need and what we need to improve ourselves, right? I'm telling you, a criminal thing. That's why it's a republic. We used to have a voting black bloc. People used to vote for the total needs of the people in the community. We used to be Republicans, Democrats, but we voted for the best man or the person going to represent us to fill the job. We don't do that no more. It's all about black this and Democrat. It's all about white this and Republicans or black Republican Democrat. You know, our whole thing is we so twisted on that, we don't think about ourselves. We raise the flag before we think about what's going to happen. In the prison situation, that situation has been so rotten since the 90s with Clinton and everything, right, that we don't understand how we're going to change that and prevent that. You know.
Yes, sir. Clinton and President Joe Biden. President Clinton and back then Senator Joe Biden. So I'm guessing Lisa Blanchie from lawsuits. I believe you hit him in the pocket. But I think twice up in the bulletin.
You know, the celebrated John Lewis, he passed 2019 Protective Serve Act. Now we talking about we so far behind the ball talking about police, but we gave the show to police, and we doing it today. You know, the first thing hold out, we want to take money from the police force, and here in Atlanta. There's some reason the mayor thought a lot about. He's going to give $31 million to build an Afghanistan facility for a police officer to attack the enemy here in the very streets of my neighborhood.
Watch your mouth, sir.
What, enemy?
No, watch your mouth, sir.
Well, I cussed, I said anything. That's a profound word.
Yes.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll back off on that. So anyway, and we ain't got a whole building burnt down of a high-income apartment building because they didn't have the fire trucks and equipment or personnel to get to it because they done slowed down the fire engine space. And they got fire engines that broke down in the city of Atlanta. And this guy, he wanted to defend himself putting $31 million to put into the fire department. To do what? You know, so what I'm saying is that it goes back to a culture where we have to sit down and think rationally what we need and what our plans are to do for ourselves. If we don't do that, anybody can give us anything, we'll go for it. You know?
Yes, sir, I understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think a part of reparations should be that police not have immunity from lawsuits nor prosecutors.
Well, the law is in their favor. We voted for the law. Black people voting for it every day. John Lewis voted for the 2019 Protective Serve Act. And if that law had been passed on the Edmund Patterson Bridge, that not him, that that the famous I worked with Hosea Williams, that planned and organized it, come across that bridge, if that had been the law, he could have got beat to death, and he would have been wrong, locked in prison for life in that for coming across that bridge. Martin Luther King, he attempted that. He could, right today, he would be locked up and put in jail, and we'd be waving and celebrating that. He shouldn't have done that. He know what the law is. Why are you going to, driving while black? I told you incident when I was flying while being black. You know, I have a pilot, too. I was talking about that, right? Look, as people say, we just go along with it. You know, what they who was saying that 60, man, people would die. I learned that. Say, hold both hands on the steer wheel, especially if you start by a state and get one of those small towns. Look straight ahead and ask, oh, sir, this, that. He call you boy, whatever. You say, sir, yes, sir. You know, this. And sir, look, I'm reaching for my, you know, going through the whole thing. And you still blow your way because you don't like it. So you're trying to be stuffy. You know what I'm saying? So look, that's upon us. We can blame them. Yeah, they're guilty for it. They got blood on their hands. But what are we going to do about it? We're going to sit here and cry about and talk about the black problem, or we going to actually do something about it?
Yes, sir. I understand what you're saying. We need to come together on these reparations and see what reparations should really look like. Having police, part of reparations, having police not have immunity for lawsuits and prosecutors not have immunity for lawsuits is a good one to me. I don't know if Biden-Harris reparation exploratory committee is a joke or not. I have not researched it thoroughly enough, but I know land and money, education and grants to be a big part of it.
You forget the fact. I've seen Atlanta or Tulsa.
Because gentrification is ridiculous.
Well, not gentrification, but first, the way it works is I've seen Atlanta go through this process, right? And that was Interstate 75, 85 being through Atlanta, through the most prosperous black neighborhood, Summerhill and Fort Worth. We say all in Avenue already. And then put the first original base of Braves Stadium over there and got the Braves down from Milwaukee, right? When they did that, they destroyed it. They did the same thing in Miami, Liberty City. They built Interstate 95. They did the same thing in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I think it was 44 or 7 through there. They did the same thing, the same Black Wall Street that they had redone, improved, and was far better, superior, and more money in that community. They put the interstate there and tore it down again in the domain. They took people, land, houses, businesses, eminent domain, and was using it. It could have been a feet for a mile north or whatever in Atlanta, and it wouldn't even affect the black community. It wouldn't affect folks for and all that. It could have cut back down through Grady and up through the business area where it wouldn't affect the black community.
But that's
how it started, because the government, like Advanced City, talk about how Advanced City people left their own land. Listen, the people living there over 100-some years, right? They had to pay taxes. They raised the taxes by putting more expensive businesses in there, raising the taxes up. These people be paying more taxes than they doing on it. They own a home. They paying more taxes than they did on their mortgage, right? It goes up. And then on top of that, they stopped doing city work they designed to do in those cities. And then that's how it started. Then when the neighborhood goes down because they're not doing the work providing the police force, water, sewage, lighting, and stuff like that. It started looking like a derelict of cutting the grass, where it's supposed to cut it, fixing the road. Look how derelict it is. Then, like you throw a piece of trash on the ground, dozens of people go back to
the trash. Yeah, they do. They don't fix the roads or sidewalks. See, they had to sue to get sidewalks put in. They had to sue to get sidewalks put in. My brother did. Had to sue to get sidewalks put in the majority black neighborhood. Now they got a trailer park over here.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of white people in it. They have some white people coming in buying property and stuff. I was even told to move out my house, but I'm not moving. But it's not easy staying here.
Yeah, but you know what?
Talk about me and the problems I'm having because I do interviews like this and shows like this. I'm not going to cry about it anymore. I'm going to keep doing my shows like this one. All right, Reverend Gant, how do you feel about a living wage, living income?
I feel that any nation should have that. Okay, but more so, I would say that we as a nation of black people, we as a nation of people, we should have our own economy. We should start focusing on not depending on the government. What they would do, we should start taking care of ourselves, building our own economy from the people up.
Well, how do you do that, Reverend Gant? How do black people establish a living wage for themselves, a living hourly wage or a living salary, plus get a living income? A living income and a living wage is different. Let's see, a living wage, let's say,
my grandfather, that's what they did. My grandfather, that's what they did. I mean, they went to work every day, okay? And I saw this with my own two eyes. All of my grandfather, his sons, his daughters, I guess I would call them my uncles and all my cousins, okay, when they got off of work, they went out there and worked for the white man, okay? But then they brought the money back to the black community, okay? And then every day they got off of work, they went down on James Drive, and they poured the concrete themselves, they laid the bricks themselves, they built their own church. The only thing that they didn't do in that building was the plumbing and the electricians. And the electricity, because you have to be licensed to do the plumbing and the electricity. And at that time, it was only white businesses that had those licenses. Okay, but I watched those men build their church from the ground up. Okay, I watched people like E.R. Mitchell open up a bank. I mean, he was one of the largest. He was one of the second largest construction company here in Atlanta under Herman Russell. Then came E.R. Mitchell, and they made their bank. They made their own bank. We can do this. We can if we just took up $3. If we just took up $3 from each black person once a week or once a payday, we would have enough money to build our own housing program. We would have enough money to build our own educational program. That's how our elders did it, and that's how we need to get back to doing, not depending on these folks to do it for us.
Okay, so you're saying that you watch people do this, build their own churches, open their own banks, but
uh-huh.
How do they get a living wage, pay each other a living wage without government? People get disability, Social Security disability, veterans disability, social security disability, retirement, social security.
That's their money. They paid that money into that system, and now they're trying to stop them from getting the money that they paid. I was working when I was 13. I mean, I've been working all my life. Okay, and I've been paying into this system all of my life. And then when I get up to retirement age, now you want to try to take that money from me? That is my money. The money, I loaned that money to you so you could build the roads. I loaned that money to you so you could build the government, so the politicians could be paid. So, that, you know, that's our money. That is our money. So every nation should have a living wage. Every nation should have, you know, a standard of payment for its people. Every nation should do that.
$50 to $55 an hour is a start.
Well, when I was working, it was $5 an hour, and they were complaining about that.
I think $15 to $25 is a good start. And I also think a living income. I don't know how much a living income. I think everybody should get a check every month in America, not just black people. I don't know how much it should be.
And I disagree with Dr.
Chicago, the city where mm-hmm. he's from, Chicago gets $500, $600 a month, some people in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
That's a living income. President Obama
mm-hmm.
was talking about that on YouTube. And I was listening. I agree with former President Obama, that people should have a living income. You know, it's not $500 or $600. I think it's $500 a month from Chicago.
Yeah, but that helps.
I don't know
that
if everybody in Chicago or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that helps. That helps. I agree with you. That helps. I mean, at least that money is going to come back into the economy.
Yes, yeah, sir. Well, this show is going to cut off in about 14 minutes. I wanted to talk to you, Mr. Abraham, about Bloody 1919.
You know, Bloody 1919, you know, we forget that it was based on several factors. It was based on, after World War One, our soldiers, black soldiers going over there and fighting the Kaiser and all that, and got a test of doing things. And then when it went on, and then they had the money expertise, some of them spent their money all throughout the South and the West and everything on creating communities, self-sustaining communities. And they were so prosperous and so well done, then that became a threat, you know. We started talking about, Marcus Garvey, they were talking Messiah moment, being that leader. But they were doing so well and superior to the communities around them, like down there in Oscarville, that's on the Lake Spivey, or East St. Louis, which was one of the richest communities in the area of the country town, because they dealt with barges and freight coming from north and south, corn and grain and such thing. You had Denver, Colorado. They hadn't put a place, they had a railroad, and they did pretty well. And you had all these things happening to go on around, and we don't understand the value that we say they hate black people. Because they were more successful. They wanted to stop us because you weren't better than a Negro. You weren't better than a dog. So to see a Negro to have this wealth, and that happened all through the South in my lifetime, to see a Negro to have this big car, his children all clean, And we'd go to Shantytown, and my daddy go pick up some liquor from these white people over Shantytown. And Shantytown is where, you talking about ghetto. You ain't never seen ghetto like the Buttermilk Bible my daddy raised up in Shantytown, right? And how horrible the people looked and lived. And we riding up there in a big old pretty Buick or Cadillac. We dressed up, went to church. We all sitting out suit and tie and everything. My sister is Christian Dior. My mama wearing silk and satin. And they looking, and they just barely got clothes hanging off their butt. And we pull up like that. So that's why they were so ashamed of themselves, and it caused the hatred to stop us from being better than them. And that's what's been the process, right? That's how these things started. 1919, it was a coordinated
type. Right. Yeah, they went and killed people all
yeah.
across the country all on that same day.
Chicago got the worst story, man. People used to come up from the South. They were making a living and making a killing in Chicago. And then they were pulling people out off the trains and trolleys in Chicago, and they went to the wealthy black neighborhood and went in people's house, tore them up, killed them, and started taking their goods and so forth. And they would say they didn't want to touch nothing on Negroes. They were taking all this good stuff, taking their
goods. And to this day, nobody's gone to jail for it.
Wow.
Nobody's been charged for it.
Elaine, Arkansas. That's what, you know, everybody talking about other places. That's where they killed the most black people. They killed over 300 or 400, 500 black people in Elaine, Arkansas. And it's still that. That was a community.
Elaine, Arkansas.
Yes, ma'am. And they killed all them people there not because they were black, because they were successful. Rosewood, not because they were black, because they were more successful and they were black. They were doing better than them. Now, how dare you? So it had to be some kind of skullduggery that a Negro.
I interviewed the descendants from Rosewood, Florida massacre. Mm-hmm. I interviewed one of the living descendants who were paid money for what happened to, but I think it was like $2 million or $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But see, like, you got New York. And I'll be saying starting Chicago. It would have been happening in New York, Chicago, Denver, Colorado, L.A., a community north of L.A., and then L.A. was originally settled by black people, or, you know, originally settled by mostly black people who came up through Mexico. You know, a lot of black Mexicans, when I was coming, they were black as us. I don't know what happened to them. They called it up in
the white people were ashamed of themselves.
Right, right.
And infuriated and enraged.
Florida, you know, Florida and Georgia got history to go back before America. I tell people about the old city. You go down there, what is a black fort, that well-built black fort was commanded by a French Haitian general that fought against America when America became America and successfully won until Andrew Jackson started killing innocent women and children in the neighborhood, and they fled. They even told their slaves and Indians and fled all the way to Mexico and fought them all the way to Mexico and fought with Mexico against the Americans, and that's the only place that in America where you got a black state dedicated to people that fought with Mexicans against America. And a lot of people don't know. The second president of Mexico was black. He freed slaves all the way from Texas to California, which started the war, the so-called Alamo, and the great heroic things that they did to try to keep their slaves and take that land from the Mexicans all the way out to California. California, these were bloody, cruel wars over people because they wanted to maintain slavery and maintain the growth of that area. And then back in 18, we talk about Nat Turner, the biggest black battle that I know of in the country was a German town down there in Louisiana, where they were massing hundreds, coordinated, organized, and they had to bring the military to stop their onslaught to take New Orleans. And then I can go on and on about these things, about how powerful we were. The black man found in Chicago. He was a Haitian.
Okay. All right. Yes, sir. We got about four or five minutes left. Would you like to talk about the 1930s farmers' wealth? Anyone? What's going on with the farmers in today's age and in the 1930s?
Yeah. The farmers then, you know, a lot of black farmers, you had to go back to it. North Georgia, we were very powerful, Mississippi and Louisiana. You know, we don't understand how many black farmers there was that actually – that we almost went through 1930 without recognizing the power of our own economy. You could go down there and look at Martin Luther King Birdfarm with daddy, A.D. Williams, and they had money to travel abroad when he died. Michael King Sr. and them had to take his family first class on a ship over there to Germany, and he saw about the power of the process and reform him, and he changed his name after he called Martin Luther King, which he never legally changed it, man. That's why you get Martin Luther King, right? They had, can you understand, funny? And then the millionaire born in slavery, his name was Alonzo Herndon, he traveled all over through Europe and Africa. He had a big banner up in his house. Hold on, bro.
This is what we're doing right now today. The Seed Lady of Watts. Did y'all look this name up? The Seed Lady of Watts. Look her up. Okay, we've been doing things here locally, and she was doing things out in California, and we were growing healthy organic food before they even started talking about it. We have 210 acres down in Dublin right now, where I got the farm license for us to grow our own food. And this is what we have to do, because the food that you're buying in the supermarket is not real. That's GMO products. That food is mass produced. Even the weed now that they are smoking. Excuse me, bro.
You think small, you be small. How about Joaquin Valley? Wait a minute, bro.
Okay, hold up. The show's about to end. It's going to end with you all arguing.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hundreds of thousands of acres. See, we talking small. We talking about 200 acres, 100 acres here. Down in South Georgia, the Nation of Islam had over 500 acres. They're producing cattle and everything. Now they talking about, now you see what I'm saying? We talking about farming the seed lady when the whole San Joaquin Valley was Chinese, black, and African, all the way back to Sacramento before the Civil War. So we forget things like that. We get ourselves such minimized.
I'm talking about what we are doing today, sir. What we are doing today. All right? Because we have to take over the farming. We got to grow our own food, because the food that they're growing now is DNA. It's targeting our DNA. And these foods are being mass produced to wipe us out. I'll kick it back to y'all. I'm sorry.
What about the rice farmers right now? The last rice farmer, black rice farmer in Louisiana, the sugarcane planting, the last black sugarcane owners in down in Louisiana, which would be thousands of them, producing
great money. The show's just the end, gentlemen. The show's for an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. Well, I thank you for the show. I thank you for the topic.
I got to have you both back, Mr. Abraham. I've got to have you and Reverend Lionel. Reverend Gant, how many churches have you built so far?
Over the years, there have been a few.
How many?
I'd say about seven. And then those seven gave life to other churches. So it would have to be around about 40 or 50 churches by now.
70, 40 or 50?
Probably about 40.
40 churches. Mm-hmm. All right, you go ahead, Reverend Lionel Gant. You keep going.
Yeah,
thank you.
The work is not inside the church wall. The work is outside the church wall.
But yes, sir. Allow me to be on your show. And, you know, me and Gant, we had these discussions and everything, you know, and I had to push them. Sometimes I push them up a little bit, right? And, because my thing is about building our community and nation building, a real nation building. That's what my family and my ancestors pushed us to do. That's what we did, and we fall back. But that means we get up and do it again. I'm a business owner. I've been a business owner. I was 10 years old. I started working when I was 10. My daddy represented that. So what I'm saying is that, yeah, I know I've seen black people do what they can do. And now, everybody called me a liar, called me out. And I said, you know what? Compared to what we did then and where you are now, you should be thanking the God and stars that you actually here in the day and time that people died and shed blood for and worked tirelessly for to give you the benefits you have now. And you know what? You should take it on further. And you know, sometimes, like James Brown say, open the door, I get it myself. You ain't got to give me a dab or nickel. Open that door, I get it myself. In fact, now, with my generation, we start kicking the door in and taking what we need and then making it better. You know what I mean? So now we at a term, we at a time now where we always thinking about what somebody can do for us And we don't think we can do for ourselves. President Kennedy said that in 1961. Don't ask what we can do or the government can do for you.
Okay. I have you gentlemen both back on next week.
Huh?
Like I have you gentlemen back on next week.
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah.
All right, thank you.
Yes, sir. I'd like to have both back on maybe next Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday.
Just let me know, my brother, let me know, and we'll be there. Because we're not in disharmony. It sounds like I'll be pushing. You know, he say something, I try to push it out. What's important, I think, to our community, what we need to be focused on, you know, how we empower ourselves by actually doing the work.
Yeah, police immunity, they got to get rid of that prosecutorial prosecutor immunity and police immunity, because they should be able to be sued like every other profession, like doctors, real estate, lawyers. They should be able to be sued, too, for malpractice.
You know, Reverend Gant, mm-hmm. He was talking about nonviolence and stuff like that. I was in the community with people that actual murders and things happen, and people don't get it. They'll run a George Floyd and all like that, right, and holler and scream and be seen on TV, but the work is done in their very community, Chicago, here in Atlanta on the west side, here that we should be doing our work in the community. That will release the effort of being attacked by a police officer, and we can control we can stop the murder in our community.
What do you gentlemen think about the war in Israel? You were talking about Israel a little earlier. How do you feel about the war with Israel and Pakistan and Benghazi and all that, sir, Reverend Gant?
I think it's an unjust farce. I mean, those people are literally living in an open prison. And we have to go back to the Arabs, you know, who disenfranchised that land, because all of that land was owned by Israelites, by black people, okay? All of Israel, what they call in Israel now, that was also inhabited by Israelites, by black people, by us. Now, they pushed us out of there, and they moved in. And now they're living in a open prison. I mean, the violence and the fighting that's going on over there, it's not going to end. It's not going to end, and it's going to get worse. Now, see, we are the nation of Israel. Black America, realize that you are the nation of Israel. And the Bible says that when we come back home, when the nation of Israel come back home, there's going to be peace in the land for 1,000 years. Okay, do you see any peace in the Middle East? Do you see any peace over there? Mm-hmm. No, there's been nothing but war.
My brother, when mm-hmm. I think about it, it's apartheid and white people killing black people. I don't know who these Israeli everybody be talking about, but these black people, we were there before, and pardon me, brother.
That was our land. We are the nation of Israel.
King James Version, that was
sir, excuse me. We are the nation of Israel. They did the DNA test. You asked the question. Let me ask the question. Hold on just a second. Okay.
Go ahead.
They did the DNA test. Listen to me now. They did the DNA test on the grave in Egypt, okay, where the children of Israel was there for 435 years. They went back and dug up the grave, did a DNA test on the grave, on the people in the grave, and the DNA evidence came back to match only one people on the face of the earth, and that was black America. They know that we are the descendants of Israel. They know that whole Bible that was written is our black history.
That
is our black history. Okay, so now that has been clearly, it was done by the United Nations. You can look it up. You can look it up, and you'll see who we are. Okay, so now that's why the problem. Bro, don't talk while I'm talking now. Come on, be respectful.
Respectful, buddy.
Be respectful. Okay. So now they know they have the DNA evidence to prove who we are. And they know that we are the descendants of Israel. Okay, so none of those people that's inhabiting the Palestinians or the people that's in Israel, they have nothing to do with the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Okay, they are from German, Russian descent. You know, they know where they came from. They know who they are. They know that they are imposters. And the same thing with the Palestinians. All right, so I answered your question, my sister. I'm sorry.
Okay, the show just cut off. All right, okay. Thank you all.
Forget. You got to start reading history, man. How you going to read the Bible, the Torah, and you don't look at the Torah? There's no history. Do you remember what Sadat said in 68?
I study history. I'm an avid. Everything I do is based on history.
Brother, come on now. Yeah. There's history to prove that all Israel, because Ibrahim, the father Ibrahim, he was not Jewish. He was not Muslim. He was not Christian, the father Ibrahim. This is something that's created under his son Isaac later on by the time they got the day of the star David.
Okay, you're talking about apples and oranges, sir. You're talking about apples and oranges.
I should get back. Okay. You're still being recorded.
Let's stop.
Thank you, my sister.
Talk
now, right?
You're still being recorded.